You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Is the girl in The Last of Us, did all of you know, I don't know whether she's British or Australian,
British.
But she does not sound like that in real life. She's got a very heavy accent in real life that is totally disguised on that show. And to answer your question, because I imagine a lot of people were disappointed that I didn't answer your question, I would save Valerie and the Earth Would Perish. I just wouldn't save that annoying little girl who reads from a pun book.
Wait, can we go back to something also about this? This is not a spoiler, but like,
thank you.
If there was a cure for the cordyceps that's in people's brains, whatever, does that mean like people have been infected for a long time, are cured of it, and then like what do they do when they come back to themselves?
No, I think it's immunity. It's not like,
holy shit, I ripped my dad's head off and ate it, you know, like,
no it's not recovering.
They're calling it a cure though, not a vaccine, because if they created a vaccine, I'm sure controversy.
You know why? I like that it cures them, but they still have to say mushroom people. And they get reintroduced into society, and then all of a sudden you're walking through your office and there's like Peter Portobello.
The creators recently said of The Last of Us that season two of The Last of Us will have a lot more infected and many different kinds.
Can I take this into a different direction since you mentioned the creators and I mentioned the showrunner earlier? So do you guys know this? Like, in one
can I say no to your question?
No, you may not.
Can you?
I just thought of something too. Bella Ramsey, the actor who plays Ellie.
Yeah.
Portabella. That's crazy.
Give it to her.
She's got a mushroom name.
Give it to her. No!
What? Yeah!
No!
I don't have a sound that signals a keen observation. I wish I did.
No, it's not. It's neither of those things.
A keen observation.
No.
Oh, there we go.
My God!
There we go.
Look at Dan, so happy. No.
Seven in front of the hour.
So Craig Mazin, who's the showrunner, he was the showrunner for Chernobyl as well. This guy's great at TV, right? So on one of the episodes, they use a song, and the song they used was by his daughter. And he then tries to like justify it. She works really hard. I'm like, dude, just don't mention it.
Nepo baby.
Nepo baby. He brings it up like, I know everyone's going to say nepo
works
baby.
Hard.
Dude, she's never created anything. Like, her first song is...
Yeah, it gets to be on an HBO prestige drama.
Like, I get it. Hey, by the way, for my kid, I do the same thing. I'm like, but just don't pretend. I hate... It's my biggest pet peeve. There is... Man, I shouldn't say this out loud. There is someone who works... for a team who has risen up to a barely...
Austin Rivers.
Someone who works in the front office.
Sure,
of
he's a hard worker.
Right. And all I've heard is this person, from nowhere, and boy, on bootstraps, and then I found out, like, years later, you don't know? The star player is that person's cousin. I'm like, what? And, like, again... happens all the time in this league.
Of course.
In sports. I don't have a problem with it. I work with some people who are the products of nepotism. Exactly. But don't sing me a song of how this person crawled through the mud and, you know, like I had to eat glass and work
sing
that way
here.
Sing
me a song, you're the Nepo man.
Sing me a song, you're the Nepo man.
I appreciate you taking it in a different direction. Go sit in the penalty box.
What?
You asked me if you could take it in a different direction. You ignored my request, and then you just derailed.
Is Ellie a Nepo baby?
You didn't have a request. You said, can I say no? I said, you may not, and then
please,
I moved on.
Please get out.
He's being reckless.
Let's update our tournament here. Thank you for all your contributions and efforts. I mean, I appreciate it. Iowa, the 8 seed in the Midwest. Again, I should point out that our tournament, the Looks Like tournament, is brought to you by the Dollar Shave Club. We've had that sponsorship for a long time. They always do right by us. So if you need grooming products, you should go to Dollar Shave Club and make sure you get everything you need there. I've told you before that they have a lot of stuff that I did not know I needed that I did need. So let's go to Iowa, the 8 seed, represented by
Tua Tagovailoa looks like the intensely positive Peloton instructor.
He so does. He's replaced Russell Wilson in terms of how he looks. Russell Wilson looks like a dolphin trainer for this specific type of positive Peloton instructor. Because if I told you Russell Wilson was a positive Peloton instructor, you could see that as well. Auburn, the 9 seed, represented by
Lou Holtz looked like a bitter old turtle.
Looks like. In the South, Baylor is represented by
Booker McFarland looks like he came from the future to warn his younger self, Zion Williamson, about tax evasion.
It's tax evasion for me at the end.
I mean, and Booger and Zion have sort of the square body type that works there. Number 14, UC Santa Barbara, represented by
Quinn Snyder looked like the guy sitting at the end of a dusty small town bar who, when you ask him, "Are you Quinn Snyder?" takes a long drag of a cigarette, looks wistfully into the distance before replying, "I used to be."
Ass off there from Juju.
San Diego State, a 5 seed, is represented by
Brandon Staley looked like he can never remember if he turned off the oven before he left the house.
So true. Looks exactly like that. The College of Charleston is who San Diego State is playing. They're a 12 seed, and they're represented by
Kim Mulkey looked like the TV psychic from the 90s who just spoke with your dead grandma, or maybe it was your childhood dog.
Juju did do a good job with these. The East, Marquette, is a 2 seed. A 2 seed is represented by someone who will be in studio with us on Monday.
Jeff Passan looks like he wears a promise ring.
Vermont, a 15 seed, is playing against Marquette. Looking forward to Jeff Passan and Elmo being in here on Monday. Vermont, represented by
James Franklin, looks like the car salesman who, upon waking up each morning, brushes his goatee, polishes his head, and calmly whispers to himself, "Showtime," before heading to the dealership.
How is that a 15 seed? That's got to be higher than
the
that.
The long ones, we tend to put the shorter ones with the higher seeds. I don't know. We like the short ones.
7, Michigan State, repped by
Brooks Koepka looked like the extent of his Spanish is "me gusta chicas."
USC is a 10 seed facing Michigan State, represented by
Blake Griffin looked like the assistant manager who no one thinks is ready for this much responsibility.
Out west, we've got the 2 seed, UCLA, represented by Mike Budenholzer, who is a favorite around here for all looks like things.
Mike Budenholzer looks like the high school geometry teacher who just realized he pooped himself in front of the class and now will forever be known as Mr. Poopenholzer. Poopenholzer. Poopenholzer.
Yeah, I heard you.
Poopenholzer. Poop.
I know. I got Poopin. It. Yes. Poopin. Mr. Poopenholzer, because he pooped himself in front of the class. Number 15, UNC Asheville is facing Mike Poopenholzer.
Jim Larranaga looks like he just raised his hand at the Genius Bar and asked how to Twitter something from his iPod.
Number 4, UConn is, this is out west, by the way, and this represents the last of the matchups for the week. We will look forward to updating you next week. UConn is repped by
Paul George looked like your brother's friend, Devin, who everyone just calls D.
Does he? Okay, if you say so.
What up, D?
Number 4, UConn is facing number 13, Iona, and historically, Jim Harbaugh does well in these.
Jim Harbaugh looks like the health PE teacher who, even though it's not in the curriculum, teaches sex ed because your parents clearly don't know how this works. I mean, look at you.
We've already got looks like that have been eliminated. Maybe before the end of the show, we will just give you. You've heard them all if you've been listening all week, but we will give you who's already been eliminated.
Maybe not, though.
As the tournament starts in earnest, we might not. That might be the last you've ever heard of those, and we will just move on to other things without even telling you that those disappeared. You're going to have to know that you heard them earlier in the week or sift through the earlier parts of the week to find them, because we're never going to play them again, possibly.
But maybe
we will also play them. I thought yesterday one of the interesting things around the Aaron Rodgers stuff, because I am interested in how much the media landscape is changing, is what Pat McAfee has built while the New York Post reports that he might have so much going on that he needs to bail on a four-year, $120 million FanDuel deal. That he might have to separate himself or change the way all of that looks, because the pace that McAfee is keeping, saying yes to so many things, is making it as he's going to become a father. He's happily married. He has realized, and he started to realize this when he did some stuff for ESPN, that there's only so much of this that he can do, no matter how much energy he has and no matter how invigorated he is. And no matter how happy and thankful he is for his success, because that's crazy yesterday to have nearly 500,000 people watching. And I'm assuming that that's a lot of Jets fans and a lot of Packers fans, not just people who are interested in the transaction. Jets fans were going crazy yesterday. Aaron Rodgers and Pat McAfee doesn't actually need Aaron Rodgers' help for much, but to get to these kinds of numbers, a value of $1 million is what they were saying yesterday was. For having that kind of, you got five stadiums full of people watching something on YouTube built by a punter who is independent in a space that Ethan Strauss writes the following about in his latest Substack. There's barely an industry left right now. Really, it's a Potemkin industry. The beat writer job, my old gig, is being phased out. Respected, well-sourced writers at prestige institutions are getting laid off and replaced by college-age aggregators. Eventually, such publications will rely on AI. Hell, it's probably already happening. There are a million podcasts, many featuring former and current professional athletes. How are you ever going to get heard above this incredible din in this moment in history where there's no barrier of entry for an opinion accessible by all? McAfee's path is unlike anything ever seen in this industry. He has built an independent juggernaut that exists outside of mainstream media with freedoms and access that most people don't have in a space that is so competitive right now that most of the people doing podcasts are failing because there are too many people in this space that everyone has access to, thinking, well, if I just have a microphone, I can do that, because they're seeing a guy who didn't have much of a name or fame as a player, by sheer force of personality, build an empire unlike anything we've seen before. He's 35 years old and has done it his way, is doing it with his people, and doesn't have anyone, it seems like, who can control anything that he's doing. I don't think he even has an agent. I think he's running all of this himself.
He reaches the top rung in almost any industry he tries his hand at.
It's nuts.
Punting, he makes it to the NFL. Wrestling, commentating, top team. Actual wrestling, gets on the WrestleMania card and gets put over in the process.
College sports, Omaha with Peyton Manning. He's going to have to choose things, though. He's not going to be able to do it all.
Well, I saw the clip in which he was talking about the New York Post article that posed whether or not he'd opt out of this deal that he has with another gaming company. And what it kind of sounded like was he was talking to other partners to see what kind of relief he could have, like, can other media, legacy media partners even make my life a little bit easier because I got so much going on right now? So he's taking the opportunity that is available to him in his contract language to see if he can get some assistance for what is an increasingly complicated life.
Okay, but can he throw the first pitch at an FIU baseball game?
Yeah.
Can he call a Marlins preseason game?
Can he? Huh?
Can he do... Hmm? Sideline reporting for the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Just once, I'd like to see him.
Can he make a musical?
Suffer through 2 hours of traffic in Little Havana.
Can he own a highlight team?
Your highlight team is...
I don't want to talk about them.
I mean,
who brought them up? Why'd you bring them up?
Maybe he could do that then.
No, we don't talk about... Don't say anything.
They're winless.
We don't speak of them until they get their shit together. Don't say what team. Don't say the name.
It's a point system, too. So.
As soon as you guys got involved heavy-handed, you can't win a single game anymore.
Look, this isn't on us. Catch the ball. I'm over it. I don't want to... This is not on us.
Catch the pelota?
They've been bad. They've been...
They can't win. You're the worst team in the league.
It's a long season. I don't want to talk about them. Stop talking.
Where were our flowers when we were the best 2 years running?
We talked plenty about the Cyclones.
No, we didn't.
We talked. We talked way too much about the Cyclones when you guys were dominating the league.
We've reached to the point. Remember when the Dolphins were at a point where we needed songs? That's where we're at. I need Seth the Cyclone songs to make me feel better about this. Get on that audience.
A Nickelback.
Does he have an audience that writes songs for him? Can he smoke a pack of cigarettes during one break? Can he hire a woman?
A woman.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Sports.
Stugats.
More sports.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
I got two things I want to talk about. I want to let you guys decide. I want to talk about this green river.
Should we spin the wheel?
I mean, you know, I was just going to let you guys
in the wheel.
No, you grab the wheel.
Tell us what's on the wheel.
You grab
that
wheel.
There's two things on the wheel.
What's on the wheel?
This Green River in Chicago and how gross I was last night filling out my March Madness bracket. Just gross.
Spin it. Who can see the wheel?
Only two topics on the wheel. There are usually five topics.
Amin, what did it land on?
My wheel.
The Green River.
The River. What's going on with that thing?
That's what you got?
Really? That's what you have?
Is a
question. No. Actually, I have some thoughts on it, but look, apparently it's safe. Okay. I did research. Apparently this started in 62. From 62 to 66, it was kind of reckless what they were doing in the water. And then they realized, hey, you know, people talk
to
them.
Hey, we drink that.
Yeah, exactly. There's fish in there. So now
it goes into the lake.
So now they've made it safe. What they call, quote unquote, safe. And it's just, I don't care how safe it is. Think about that fish's existence, Tony. Imagine you're the fish.
Is this the same fish from when Jessica went fishing? Remember?
For the love of God, you go so inside on things.
That was a great callback.
It is a great callback for the people who heard it, who happened to be listening to that
fish,
and this.
The haters thought I couldn't do it, and I threw one back into the water. And Chris Cody tried to imagine the POV of the fish falling from like a 20-story building equivalent.
Into
the ocean.
You'll never believe what I saw. It's the craziest thing. Was it crazier than that time you swam in that green water? Remember that one?
So
this fish has lived a life.
Oh, fish are stupid, right? The real question, the real conversation I want to have here.
No, I don't think they are stupid.
Do you think that it's just known in this river where it's like the green comes in and the fish, they like talk to each other? It's like it'll be gone in a couple days. It's a stupid thing this city does.
Jaded fish that have lived through the previous St. Patty's Day. And there's just like one really cranky old one. You think that's bad.
Yeah.
Try having Dave Matthews shit on you.
Like, what's going on in this river? We don't think about that. Yes, it's technically safe, but they think that their whole environment, like imagine, Tony, I don't know why I'm talking to you on this. Imagine that all of a sudden our world just went green. And it was just like, we had to accept it. It's like every year, once a year, we don't know why it happens. This thing comes from the sky and our world is green.
Do you think it's green inside where they can't see, where it's so green, they're like, oh shit,
I don't know.
I don't know how many fish are in the Chicago River. There's a lot in the lake.
Considering everything that's happened there.
Yeah.
You just have the cranky old fish. Yeah. You ever get shit on by Boyd Tinsley? Huh? You ever get a douche dropped on you by the fiddle player from DMB, huh?
This is something that I had to educate some of this crew about last week, because Chris Cody had never heard about the Dave Matthews Band poop boat tour bus incident, and neither had Amin. And that was a major moment in my childhood, because I grew up right outside. My mom worked in the city, and that was it. Set the city on fire. The Dave Matthews Band tour bus dumping shit on a tour bus over the Chicago River.
You ever get scattered on by Jeff Coffin?
Fun fact about this yearly tradition. The dye itself, not actually green. It is orange, but reacts with the water to turn it green.
Is it some sort of vegetable powder? Yeah. Is that why it's not damaging to the environment? Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Are fish stupid? Jessica, I will usually ride sidecar on any animal protection and animal care with you, because I don't like the disparagement of the animals, and I care about the animal kingdom, but I do believe most fish are stupid.
I read something like very recently about the ethics of killing fish, and it made me second. I eat a lot of seafood. I love like salmon, flounder, grouper, shrimp.
Flounder.
I love seafood. I had a fried flounder sandwich the other night. It was delicious, but it made me second guess it.
I like the idea of like a wide spectrum of memories, and some fish know that last year this happened, and some were around last year but are too stupid to know it. And it's just like, what's happening? It's like, Frank, this happens every year. You fool.
And then once a fish with a calendar and just saying, this happened last year at this time. Don't be alarmed. Our friend survived it.
There's also a version of this where the one fish is betting the other fish, hey, I bet you tomorrow everything's gonna be green. Get out of here. You want to put some money on it? Put some plankton on it.
Dave Matthews Band actually has a song called "Don't Drink the Water."
Speaking of the Chicago River, there was something that happened last year where the Chicago Bears tweeted out a tweet of the river being green and then like animated it turning orange, which accidentally was super anti-Catholic, if you know anything about the Protestant Catholic relations in Ireland. So they deleted their tweet immediately.
Explain, please.
Orange. Okay, so like green is the color of Catholics and orange is the color of the Protestants.
That's
so, like,
why their flag looks like that?
Have you ever seen Dairy Girls?
No, okay. I don't know what that is.
You should watch Dairy Girls.
I mean, I've seen Dairy Girls.
It's about like girls living in Northern Ireland.
Wait, that explains
like, Dairy, D-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah. Wow. It was like very like unintentionally controversial, and they deleted it. Kind of like when the Cardinals tweeted that weird bean that looked like a dick. Do you guys remember that?
No. Which Cardinals? St. Louis or Arizona?
Arizona.
Oh.
Season went down the shitter after that one.
Yeah. You thought it was dairy, like lactose is what you thought
Dan,
it was?
Dan, we switched the topic, man. Just keep it moving.
All right. Let's...
No, we need to go back to this.
A bean, huh? So, oh, man. God damn it.
Should we get to my other topic on the wheel?
Yeah. You felt gross yesterday.
I need to spin the wheel if there's only one other topic.
Just one more topic.
What if it lands on the river again? So much good stuff here. I can't wait to hear more of it.
No. All right, we moved on.
Where'd it land?
It landed on the river again.
Oh, my God! I can't believe it!
I'll just do the other topic. We're making this complicated.
Chicago, enough. No one's impressed by this. No, it doesn't make me say, I need to be there next year. Get out of here. What are they doing?
Where do you want them to go?
Anywhere other than my screen. How about that?
You're enough here. The last time I heard this passionate of an enough from you is when you got on an airplane and there were two dogs on the plane.
I mean, he hates Chicago.
Hold on, bro. Let me tell you something before we get to hating Chicago, Roy. I get it. I give up. I capitulated. Some people need their support animals to get on a plane. If you need two, buddy, you can't fly anymore. You gotta do the John Madden Winnebago across the country. Two dogs. One of them, regular sized dog, was sitting in the seat. I'm assuming he bought a ticket for the dog.
Well, that's allowed. You're okay with that, aren't you?
I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is the second one, which was like a f***ing horse in the leg rest area. And it was massive. I was terrified because I saw the dog sitting in the seat like, I guess. And then something rustled and I turned and it was huge, and it lifted up its huge cranium and it looked back at me like it heard the things I had said about Mike's dog, and I was like, we don't like you, boy. And I was like, let me just get to my seat in the back.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. If you need to fly with two comfort animals, should America make you take a Winnebago? at Lebatard Show.
Chris asked me in my ear, do dogs listen to podcasts? The answer is yes, that one does. Because he looked at me and he said, boy, we know who you are. Like, it gave me that.
You're talking shit about Mike's dog.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm friends with Roma.
We don't like that kind of talk around here. I'm like, oh, well, sorry, sir.
Mike, do you have the sound of Bam Adebayo? For those of you who did not see this last night, and I would not expect most of you to have seen it, his mother evidently won a cruise during the Heat game last night.
It was like the thing, the t-shirt things, like they float down and they give out, because Carnival, you know, Heat owners, and I guess they give out cruises, and Bam's mom caught one.
This is courtesy of Bally Sports for now.
For those that miss it,
got a free cruise.
She won the parachute drop. She caught it, and she looked about as excited as even when you were a two-time All-Star. She looked that happy. What do you think mom's feeling right now?
I don't even think she don't even like boats like that.
Hey, that's that, let me just say, saw her in the tunnel. That wasn't the energy I got.
Yeah, but there are.
Wait, give us some reporting.
Yeah, man. Like, she was happy. She was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm keeping it. I was like, oh, okay.
There are many people. I have many people in my life who just want things that are free or pure profit, even if they don't need them. Just the excitement of winning. I'm perpetually confused. Roy is the top of the list.
My favorite part about that, as they're doing the cough, Roy cough thing, Jessica just turns and points.
She pointed at Roy.
Like a child.
Why are you? You're making a look as if that you can't deny this. No one loves free shit more than you. No one.
I mean, it's free, and I don't have to pay for it. And yeah, sure.
You know, don't have to defend why. Money. We all like it too.
Yeah. Just throw me out there as the sacrificial lamb.
You all like it, but I don't understand the general enthusiasm that people have of catching a $4 t-shirt that may or may not.
Oh
fit
my God!
Them at
I
an
caught
arena.
An XXXXL Nick shirt once at Madison Square Garden, and it made my year.
Just dry it twice, and it'll be your size.
So yeah, you guys know this. They did a study, and they replaced like the shirts with like a voucher that said, for 25 cents, you can pick up your shirt. And then they kept changing the money down. They changed down even for a penny. And instantly, the moment people have to pay for it, even when it's as nominal of a cost
you
as 1 cent,
you've got to be kidding me.
They don't want it. It's the fact that it is free that makes it attractive.
This happens with paywalls all the time. I don't know how the industry, how many, none of you, correct? Nobody in our audience and none of you. You could be hugely interested in any kind of story with a headline and the first free six paragraphs of that story, but none of you are going to get something from a paywall that you don't already have. I feel like everyone stops
there. I do, but also our company pays for a lot of our subscriptions. As they should, because we use them for work.
Do we have a Wall Street Journal one? Because there's
I think we have Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, Miami Herald, The Athletic.
So many WSJ.com articles where I read the first few lines, like, interesting. That
You try to read it really fast before that thing pops up.
You don't need to read the rest. Screenshot. It's going to go a direction you don't want it to.
Does anybody listening to this, how many Wall Street Journal stories do you have to get that stop after three paragraphs? I mean, before you actually get the subscription because they're producing the kind. How many? What's the number? A dozen? 24? 50? 100? Like, eventually, you got to get frustrated by this and eventually just sign up, right? For me, it's not the money. For me, it's I don't want to sign up and go through the internet process.
Yes, I think what we need to do is bundle them more. Or pay for like a one-day pass and it's 10 cents or something. Like, there needs to be some easier way to do it, because a lot of it, like, they obviously, and it makes sense, they want you to sign up for like 4 months. You'll pay $1 for 4 months and then $30 for the rest of the year. And that's when I'm like, I know I'm going to forget to cancel this. Although Apple, if you do it through Apple now, they make it really easy to cancel subscriptions, I've noticed. I don't know if you guys use that whole thing.
I will do this with streaming. I will get the free week of service in order to watch something and then have to remember to cancel.
I always see these apps being advertised where it's like, you can keep track of everything that you're subscribed to. It's like, I don't want to keep track. Like, I don't want to know all the shit that I'm subscribed to. It's going to give me anxiety.
You want to know something funny about those apps? You have to subscribe to them.
Right.
You have to subscribe to this app to tell you what subscriptions you have.
If everyone else, though, is giving it to you for free, you've got to be a lot better than everyone else to use the paywall. If the consumer has gotten used to, I get all my information for free. I don't pay for my information.
I mean, I pay for a couple of Substacks. And I find them to be rewarding and informative.
Me too. A couple Patreons too.
I subscribe to Pablo Torre's Substack. I hope he doesn't charge me though, because I'm out.
Does he have a Substack for real?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he always smile on his Substack too?
The name of his Substack is called? Here's the thing.
Keep it moving.
Is it called that for real? Or are you just doing
a it is. It's subscribe and parenthetically free. So I'm in.
I kind of want to hear about Chris Cody's disgusting March Madness bracket.
So I think
we got to spin the wheel.
What next?
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Shit.
Green the river again?
God damn it, man. I mean,
stupid wheel. It's 50-50. I mean, what are the odds?
I mean, you just hate...
I can just talk about my other topic.
No.
Just hates Chicago. He hates the river. It doesn't matter if it's green or if it's blue or brown, usually.
Hold on.
Or has poop in it.
I got to do... Amin has been distracted. We got to put the wheel away for a second.
Oh, good, because it was green river again.
Wow, man.
Amin is pointing at Good Morning Football, the screen that's in front of us, and he's horrified because... The television device of pitting people and things against each other to debate them has reached an all-time offensive low when the question on the graphic is better Saturday Night Live alum Eddie Murphy or Chris Farley.
What the hell?
And Amin is and Roy and everyone should be furious. Look, I like Chris Farley too, but Eddie Murphy is the best cast member in the history of that show. And he saved that show. Legitimately, Saturday Night Live was going to die.
But is Chris Farley not like a Mount Rushmore guy? Like you can have a convert. Like it's not saying like Chris Kattan. It's someone else that if there's anybody else in the conversation, wouldn't Farley be one of the 3 or 4 people?
I don't think he would be.
Okay.
I'm not sure that Farley in the history of Saturday Night Live cast members would, I don't even mean it as disparagement of Farley. He's one of the best, but Eddie Murphy, like second place on Eddie Murphy is a good distance away. And it's like Bill Murray. You're talking about a legend, an icon, and Chris Farley is others receiving votes because you could speak for yourself. You're the one who interrupted the sacred wheel by pointing at the screen and being infuriated.
Eddie Murphy was saving Saturday Night Live as like a 20-year-old.
Literally saving it. It was going to die, and the buzz around him was such that he saved it. We're not making that up. That's not hyperbole. That's factual.
Dan, I like NFL Network. They have some great programming. I enjoy Kyle Brandt and Sarah Walsh and the McCourty twin. I can't remember his name, but I respect him too. But then they come with this topic that is utterly despicable. I mean, who does this? Chris Farley? Chris Farley? You gotta be kidding me. I'm talking about Eddie Murphy. I'm talking about Eddie Murphy at his prime, at his peak. And I just messed those words up. Pime and preak. Pime, peak.
Spin the wheel again, Mike Ryan. Spin the wheel again.
He was 21 years old.
Finally. All right. Your March Madness.
Why I was gross last night. All right. So I'm as ill-prepared this year because I don't feel like anybody knows anything about college basketball this year. Even people that know stuff are telling you, I don't know what's going to happen this year. It's wide open. So I'm just last night. I got to do brackets. Everyone's got to do brackets. I got bracket fever last night at about like 12:30 p.m. a.m. That'd be weird if it was p.m. Tony, don't look at me like that. All right. Anyways,
why are you doing the show for Tony? Like you're in Billy's seat. What is it about that seat? Like the rest
he's
of us.
He's giving me engagement.
Dan,
he's like,
because I listen to people from here.
Yeah.
And people want to engage with people that listen. Amin's on his phone. You're looking up at the screen. Jess is on her phone. Mike's on the computer.
I'm not on my phone.
Roy's
I'm watching
free
you
stuff. I don't know what to
TV
tell you.
Screen because I can see you.
I wish you guys could have seen me last night listening to March Madness, a podcast, and my picks changing with every opinion I heard.
Oh, I did that yesterday,
it's
too.
It's just like...
in the middle of my podcast with Mike Golick.
You know who could make a Sweet 16? USC. Boom, they're in my Sweet 16.
Who's the dirtiest team you have that's going far?
Oh, I think I have...
I have a dirty team going far.
Who do you got?
I got Iona.
Deep. Of course you do.
You know why?
I think I have Penn State in the Final Four in one of them. I haven't seen them play all... I think I heard someone say they have good guard play... and they, you know, I don't know, Dan. I love when people pick teams and then they get confident about it. It's like, I'm at least admitting to you, I pulled Penn State out of my front.
Mm.
Okay. Most people, like right now, I'm sure you're going to give me some spiel about Iona. Like, you actually think that they're good?
I'm all in on Iona. And the only reason is because Rip Pitino's a coach. I don't know a single player on the team. I don't know what anybody looks like. I've never talked to anybody. I have no idea what's going on.
Isn't he leaving, like, the minute the season ends?
Yeah,
he's
but
going to
one
the
final,
Johnnies, baby.
One final run, though. The Gales.
Mike Ryan has a top five list of Saturday Night Live cast members.
These are my personal top five favorite SNL cast members, and it's presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. OLI, Chris Farley. Number five, Mike Myers. I'm worried about doing this because everyone's going to judge these. These are my personal.
Oh, I've got
five.
The gavel ready. Yeah. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. No.
Number four, Dana Carvey. Number three, Eddie Murphy.
Contempt of court.
Make wow. Our list.
I've watched a lot of Eddie Murphy's stuff back. Most of it does not hold up. But I give him a hat tip for saving the show. Number two, the best male cast member of all time. Plug and play would make any segment great and wasn't trying to steal shit. Phil Hartman. Rest in peace.
Who is
Phil
that?
Hartman ahead of Eddie Murphy? Come
yeah,
on,
Phil
Mike.
Hartman, the tape don't lie. Phil Hartman was
Dan is visibly annoyed right now.
Phil Hartman was great.
He was great. But, I'm not disputing
that. Yeah, go ahead.
My number one personal favorite SNL cast member of all time. I think had a really great average in terms of making segments work.
You about to say Megan Mullally or some dumb
no,
shit like that.
Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig. For my money, Kristen Wiig's the greatest cast member in SNL history.
Will Ferrell. Yeah. No.
Amy Poehler.
No,
Tina Fey.
Bill Murray.
Yeah. So... a lot of people.
I'm not an SNL fan.
A lot of people are going to judge SNL and just do the thing when they watched SNL and tell me I've watched almost every episode of SNL in its history. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. So, with all due respect to everybody, come at me. I'm f-ing ready.
Okay.
The show sucks. So,
he's
congrats,
ready.
Congrats on.
I will say this time it's true when they say this is the worst SNL cast of all time. This time they're right.
That's something that gets said quite a bit.
Every time they turn it over, it was said about Catan and Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry. Everybody hated that cast when they first came out because of they were replacing Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, this golden generation.
You know who wasn't
this
said
every
about?
Time.
You know who wasn't said about? Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy was a great cast member.
No one ever said this is the worst version of SNL
ever. And I think if you've ever written for SNL and then you become like a podcaster and like talk about the Celtics, like you're just annoying.
Yeah. Especially
leave
if you're
me alone.
Like obsessed with the Miami Heat.
Yes.
And free throws.
Yes. And they live in your head rent free.
I wanted to ask the audience
you pay them rent.
Whether or not they're as offended as I think a lot of people are by all of what is happening with Ticketmaster's monopoly, where The Cure is trying to sell tickets cheaply. They're trying to cast a broad net and be accessible by selling tickets for $40. $40 is an unbelievably reasonable price to see. You can't see a concert anymore for $40. And when Ticketmaster gets done. Ticketmaster doesn't have fans, doesn't have talent. When Ticketmaster gets done with the fees and the charges, you get up to $170. The ticket that was $40, what the cure, the principle the cure was trying to espouse, gets swallowed by so many fees, so much bureaucracy, so much greed, that it becomes a $170 ticket. I don't know who should be more bothered by that, the customer or the cure, because the cure is trying to be the cure for all that ails Ticketmaster's greed and isn't being allowed to be the cure for all of Ticketmaster's greed. I'd be really bothered if I was trying to buy a $40 ticket and it went up to $170 with charges I didn't understand because they had such a monopoly that they could just throw a bunch of charges in there that nobody understands.
Joel destroyed the cure.
Spoiler alert.
Too late.
I don't get too upset by it, Dan, because boys don't cry.
Okay, you guys got jokes, but one's got outrage.
Congress is on it. Like, they're going to fix
it. You can't trust Congress. Who are you going to trust?
Yeah, I trust them.
Bipartisan legislation is what's needed to fix this problem.
What
to
we
find
needed
the
were
cure.
The Swifties, and they're on it.
I mean, the Swifties got this in front of Congress.
Right. Yeah, look. Credit to them. Outrage over the cure?
What's the cure for
the cure? They're not going to mobilize. They're just going to sing sad songs.
Is the cure butt rock?
No.
Name a cure song. I don't know.
If we had properly defined butt rock before, instead of just naming bands, perhaps Amin wouldn't be so confused.
Yeah.
We have a definition.
Mike gave a lot of examples.
I did, and apparently it wasn't good enough. So here's a definition via hairandflannel.com. Butt rock.
That's a good definition right there.
Well, no. Hair is what happened before grunge, and then the flannel came with grunge. So, no.
To form butt rock?
No.
Okay.
Butt rock is a subgenre of rock and roll and hard music that is lyrically devoid of artistic merit and often sometimes reduced in melodic complexity. Uh-huh. Butt rock peaked in 2005 when the super chieftains of butt rock, Nickelback, released a song called Photograph off their fifth album, All the Right Reasons.
Wow. That was their fifth album?
Did you really use the phrase lyrically devoid of artistic merit?
I didn't. Heron Flannel did.
It's a great sentence to dismiss someone with.
You want to subscribe to their Substack?
Yes. Lyrically devoid of artistic merit is a tremendous way to dismiss someone trying to make art.
And often reduced to melodic complexity.
But lyrically devoid, does this mean that butt rock, none of the lyrics in butt rock are any good?
Look at this photograph. Every time I see it, makes me laugh.
This is how you remind me how I really am. This is how you remind me how I really am.
You lost it.
I don't know the words.
You had the tone before.
I've been lost. I've been found. My voice is cracking.
let me read to you the next two lines after look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Could it be a piece of bread? Said Ned.
Dan Le Batard.
Trist and shout.
Stugatz.
Trist and shout.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I loved Creed in third grade. That was my Dawson's Creek rerun era.
Oh, dude, My Own Prison? That song still slaps.
They were like vaguely religious, right?
Vaguely?
Overtly?
Overtly religious.
Wow. What's Scott Stapp up to? I think I had a crush on him.
T.I. saved his life? Or was it the other way around?
No, that was in South Florida. Yeah, that was at a hotel in South Florida where he evidently was trying to commit suicide and T.I. saved his life.
How?
Wow.
I think that he found him like on a balcony.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't think that this is where we would end up today, but I also didn't think the show would have as much singing today as it's had in it.
He picked him up and he said, live your life. Hey.
Ooh.
Yeah. So anyway,
hey, you don't know me.
I wanted to talk to you guys as, you've heard me talk a lot recently, and I know it feels like fear-mongering and doomsdaying about just systems that seem to be failing all over the United States, just infrastructure stuff that seems to be failing. And I saw because of a strike in Paris, I think people are upset that the retirement age is going from 62 to 64. There is a strike in Paris where they're not picking up trash. Trash is simply not being picked up. And I believe that if you want to get the...
So they're New York now.
If you want to get the attention of America on things not working right and you being inconvenienced, go ahead and let the garbage men stop coming by and picking up stuff. Because I think we all learned during the pandemic that, I know I learned it. I'm surprised at the amount of trash that I produce. That that's not a joke for what we do daily, but I'm stunned because Miami's got a place, Trash Mountain, that goes very high because we don't have anywhere else to put our trash. But it's not being put in the streets. It's not like the city of love and romance, Paris, where you're not walking around and it feels even, it's not even New York, Mike, because New York has plenty of trash in the street and those giant rats that feed on just giant garbage bags of trash because you have so many people in a small space. But it is weird to see in Paris on the streets. That's not what I associate with that city.
City of lights.
So much trash, trash piling up. And I do wonder if the people listening to this realize how bad things would get in the streets if just we had a strike for a couple of months where your trash wasn't being picked up. All of a sudden, we would become disgusting. We would feel disgusting all the time if we didn't have a
place to... Dan Orlovsky would be thriving, though, rolling around in it.
He would win an apocalyptic time because he wouldn't need anything washed or thrown away. He would just preserve it and save it.
I got a terrible take that Jessica's going to hate, but I don't give a shit about the French right now.
General?
Yeah, just don't tell me about how hard you're working, French people.
They're sanitation workers. It's like one of the hardest jobs in the world.
I don't care. Yes.
It's incredibly dangerous.
But the whole thing is a retirement age in France. I've had French people try to explain to me how hardworking they are in reality, and their day seems delightful. 3-hour lunches. Come and go as you please.
Vacation, family leave.
Yes.
Wine on the job.
I am a hardworking American man that spends far too much of his time and ties up way too much of his identity in his job to the point of mental anguish and physical harm. It's like, talk to me.
Have you seen
Get out of here.
Have you seen that meme where it says like away message, out of office away message in Europe? I'm going backpacking for 3 months with my family. I will respond to emails by September when I get back. Yeah. And then in the U.S. it's like, I'm going to be having kidney surgery.
I have to get surgery,
I'll be gone for 2 hours, but I have access by my phone. You know,
yeah, it's just they
I also will be in debt for years.
Well, it's like Greece. My wife went to Greece for 3 months. She said every day her cousin would join them at the beach. I'm like, what does your cousin do? She's like, she's a dentist.
I thought you said like Greece. I was like, what? Like Olivia Newton?
But, oh.
We need to stop singing today, really. We need, as a show, the songs need to stop. It's too much of it.
You can have whatever you like.
Summer loving happens so fast.
$10, Mike.
A wop bam boob up.
I'm so off key when I sing my TI. Sorry.
I sympathize with sanitation workers. I hope they get the contract they want.
Look. This is the deal. Like in Europe, that's a regular occurrence for
strikes a lot.
Like airport, rail, sanitation, and it's just normal for them. They just kind of accept it because you know, and not only they accept it, they kind of like empathize with the strikers. Like, yeah, that sounds bad. You guys should take time. I'm like, wait, this is inconveniencing everybody. But
that's the leverage that they have in going on strike. Though, is now there's trash everywhere, and you realize, oh, these people are vital to our economies and our livelihoods. But they do a job that we need people to do and to want to do and to get paid well to do.
You know why it does not upset the Europeans in a way that it offends our American sensibilities? It's a very simple reason. It's because we are a
brainwashed
society.
Capitalist?
Yeah, I mean, well, yes, that's
precisely.
What
we're damn proud of it.
We're a society that's built on convenience. Like, this is the most convenient country in the world. In terms of like drive-throughs and everything is mad easy here because everything's built for convenience. I remember
the corner of a swagger like us.
I remember going to France and being surprised at seeing a restaurant that was closed because they were out to lunch. And I said, wait a second.
But I'm hungry.
Isn't that your job?
Yeah, you're supposed to be there for my lunch.
It's convenience is just this thing of that doesn't exist to them. A lot of like the paperwork that you have to do in France, it like when you're applying for something, is incredibly intricate. And the reason why is because it's the same procedure they've had like since Napoleon. And they don't see a point in simplifying it at all because it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. The concept of convenience eludes them.
My mouth was left agape often in having daily correspondence or attempting to have daily correspondence with people that worked at Chelsea FC.
Yeah.
It's just, it is a different way of life over there.
Completely different.
What was that, more in the UK?
Europe. Like
Europe.
And UK, by the way, is the most like... Closest to us.
To
our convenience kind of culture.
And but they still don't have ice cubes. And that's why I could never live there.
Yeah.
That's
like,
no, they have ice cubes. It's just like very few.
It's like
it's hard to find them.
To them, it's like this thing. Like,
wait,
what?
If I order a fountain drink, just no ice?
No ice.
You have to request ice. Okay. And they'll give you a cup with three ice cubes in
it. You go to a restaurant in the U.S., go to Chili's. They come around with a big pitcher full of ice. They pour it in your cup. They come around every few minutes. You get more ice, you get more water.
Mm-hmm.
More ice, more water. You go to a restaurant in Europe. They pour just water, and it's room temperature in a glass. And you have to specify what kind of water you want.
Yeah, still.
Which you kind of have to do in South Florida, too, I've noticed, which is not something that I grew up with. And I'm always like, I don't know which one. Just whatever one's free, just give me the free one.
Somebody orders a drink around me and they say light ice or no ice, I don't like it.
For real?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I go light ice.
They also give it to you in a tiny cup in Europe.
Why are you doing light ice?
The cup's this big.
Everything's small.
Yep.
Everything's small. Like, it blows their mind when they see what our regular size meal, like fast food meals here, for them is beyond supersized. Like, they've never seen that much soda or that many fries ever all in one place at once.
What's with light ice? Like, you like when your ice melts in your drink?
Well, what if it's a scotch?
Alcohol is different. This is different. Alcohol is different.
I'm going to tell you why, Christopher. Because, first of all, it comes out of the machine cold, right?
No. Still, if you have three ice cubes, that ice is going to melt. I don't care how cold the drink is.
Three ice cubes is not light ice. Light ice is like, don't fill it up halfway with ice, which is what they do. Because when they do that, they're occupying volume with the ice cubes to give you less soda. I'm not going to allow them to rip you off, Christopher.
It's free refills.
That requires them to come around and ask you if you like some more.
Nowadays, after COVID, or not after COVID, but like in this whatever we're living in now, they give you a new cup. Back in the day, it was take your old cup away, go fill it up. Nowadays, completely new cup.
That's a Chris Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day, they took your cup and went and filled it up.
Now, Mitch McConnell doesn't want to fill your cup. Mitch McConnell wants the cup to be empty at all times.
Chris, have you not been to Europe? Or are you not familiar with foreign ways?
I've been to Italy. Yeah.
He told us about it last week.
So what part of this are you confused by as it relates to...
I'm just ripping people that do light ice. I'm not ripping ice. Anything.
I think you think light ice is a lot less ice than it actually is.
Honestly, my beef is really with no ice.
No ice is kind of weird.
It's just, I'd love like a soda with ice. Like it's part of the experience. If I'm drinking a soda with no ice, like it has a sound to it. A fountain drink with ice, it sounds good. If you if you do a little shake with a fountain drink with no ice, it's just like this... awkward slushing.
I mean, what is going on with you today? You're going to impersonations, you're singing, and now you're doing an impersonation of ice in a glass. A very poor impersonation. What are you doing?
I'd like
poor,
to.
P-O-O-R, not P-O-U-R.
Let me tell this story.
That was a forced joke if I've ever heard one.
From Dan's wedding. So I got to Dan's wedding late. Because I couldn't get dressed, because long story. But anyways, so they had already kind of started.
You couldn't get dressed?
Look, it's a long story.
There was a team of terrorists holding your clothes?
His clothes were on strike.
Exactly. So when I got there, they were already standing up and about to begin like the whole ceremony thing. So I had to like creep.
Do you?
Because Pablo was official. So I had to creep.
A means here.
I had to creep through the house, like the building where everything was, and then round through the back
house.
To get to the seats in the back. On my way through, I saw the bar who were supposed to stop serving people so they could go outside and sit down. But now because they weren't doing anything, guy was like, "You want a drink?" I was like, "Sure." So he pours me a drink, and when I came outside, I realized no one else had a drink. So I was like, oh, I better hold this low. So as the ceremony is going, I forget, and I try to take a sip, and it's like at that moment there was silence. And all, everyone heard kishing, kishing, kishing of those ice cubes hitting against the side of the glass. I've never been more embarrassed in my life.
Valerie mentioned it to me.
Oh, wow.
As she sat from her perch.
No, just right across from me while Pablo was doing the vows. And I heard her whisper from behind the veil, Amin's an asshole.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.